Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Brian Sexton.
Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman.
Jeff Loggeman.
And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central. Here at the stadium, Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, is here. So too, Joe Fortunato. All that's missing is you. 355-NFL-1 is the phone number, 355-6351. And this quick note, whether you're running to train or training to run, Under Armour has the answer. Visit your local sporting goods retailer to learn more about the latest innovation in run, or simply visit underarmour.com. All right, welcome into the show. You know, about 2 hours ago, I was in the car going from one story to another, and I just was making notes about what we might talk about. That was settled pretty quickly.
There was a big family platter waiting here in the studio us, man. And it said, Porter and Florence, have at it.
Couldn't be any easier than that, although no one can be surprised. I mean, if you were going to express any surprise, maybe it was that both of them went this year.
Or maybe that it wasn't done on Monday, which was the first day that it could be done.
Well, if you do it on Monday, you make a statement, right?
I thought it was a statement today.
It's a statement today. It's a statement. It's just that, you know, I mean, this was, well, all I'm trying to get across is that this was a foregone conclusion. You know, this time last year, boy, we were having a good time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were all feeling good. This team was getting praised up and down throughout the league, and
they couldn't make a bad
everything
move.
Looked great, and just goes to show you it's a lesson. It's a lesson to all of us, not just the team and the fans, the media too. You know, watch yourself. Don't get too high.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Now, late in the season, we were talking about Drayton Florence. Leave Porter out. I mean, that much is. That is, as Vic said, that is and was foregone. But you were talking about Drayton Florence as having had played better last month of the season.
Sure.
Because we were talking about, you know, whether they would release him, and you said, be careful now, he's playing better.
He played better at the end, but when you pay somebody that type of money and they can't start, I mean, that doesn't work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I really believe with and agree with Vic in that this is a message. I mean, this is a message to the team, to the organization, that substandard play for a very high pay is not going to be tolerated within this organization anymore.
There's also another message that's going to get out. Whether it's a true message or it's intended, I don't know. I don't think it is intended. But it is the message. It's going to be the perceived message. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of.
The perceived message is that there's a new sheriff in town.
Oh, absolutely.
All right? Yeah, I'm sure that one I got.
And,
Gene.
And Gene's going to come out of this looking like Matt Dillon, you know? Like he's going to look like Wyatt Earp. Guy just rode into town and put on the star, put on the badge, and said, now we're going to do it my way.
Well, and I think the statement, as brief as it was, was that.
Well, yeah.
I've
been trying to get somebody to come on my newscast coming up here in about 20 minutes. Nope, they don't want to talk. They have made their statement. It is one sentence. It is from person.
I think that itself speaks volumes. Yeah.
You know what I've always said? Nothing speaks louder than a rolling head.
You have always,
I've always said that. There's nothing like it.
The shame of it is, though, is what, $24 million?
$1 million.
I mean,
the Italian over there, Joe
hard.
Fortunato.
You like that, Joe?
Yeah, he's looking for the Godfather music to play right now as you say that.
Yeah, you probably like that movie, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. I'll tell you, when that head came down the stairs, Joe.
$24 million.
$24 million.
In salary and guaranteed money.
It's obviously Gene has made a statement, but I think, you know, Wayne Weaver, I mean, Gene's not going to do that unless Wayne Weaver says, Gene, go ahead. I agree.
Oh, I guarantee you Jack Del Rio was on board with it. Wayne was on board with it. You know, Paul Vance had capped this thing so that it was real easy to do. You know, these guys are only going to be a $2.5 million hit each on this next year's cap. Of course, that is dead money because they are, quote-unquote, dead. They're gone. But they roster bonus. They front loaded it last year. They roster bonus the heck out of these guys. I think it was roster bonus. So that they, you know, they took it all. They had this big cap surplus, big surplus of cap room last year, and they took the hit on these guys up front last year, and they made it really easy to do what they're doing this year. I mean, once the real money is gone, it's no longer a monopoly money issue. And the Jaguars still have tons of cap room, and the cap is going away. So this is – I only bring up 2.5 each just to let people know what it is because we're going to get that question, and I really don't want to get that question because the cap is –
Well, it's not an issue. It's not an issue.
It's not an issue.
But the issue is it was $24 million.
That was paid to these two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would have had to pay more.
$24 million.
Gone. Walked out the door.
Fish tosh.
Right. It's a lot of sandwiches.
Just call it tarp money.
Yeah. Apply to Congress for a little trouble. Hashtag relief. Yeah, we'd like a little bit of money back on Jerry Porter. Could you buy Jerry Porter and recapitalize our salary cap for Drayton Florence, please?
I mean, sure.
Go for it.
That hurts. I mean, I don't care. I mean, in today's economic climate.
To
look that you spent.
They got to sell a lot of tickets. They got to sell a lot of tickets to overcome
that. This team made a critical error, a critical mistake in signing Jerry Porter. And it wasn't in signing Jerry Porter. I mean, obviously, that was a mistake. But they made a mistake before they signed him. They didn't call Art Schell. If they would have called Art Schell,
we know what would have happened there.
They wouldn't have signed him.
I mean, well-documented Art Schell and Jerry Porter did not get along at all.
Which is probably why they didn't call him. But you got to call Art Schell. I mean, here's an esteemed Hall of Fame player,
right?
A longtime coach, a guy, a no-nonsense guy who knows a good guy from a bad guy, who knows effort from non-effort, from jaking it. And if you'd have called Art Schell, he'd have told you the guy is going to jake it.
Pete Banaszak.
That's a new term to me.
No, that's an old one.
Oh, yeah.
That means
it's a new old term. Explain it to me.
When you say a guy's jaking it, you mean that he's not giving you his best.
Okay.
Pete Banaszak is on these airwaves. His roommate, when he was with the Raiders, was Fred Biletnikoff, who was Porter's position coach. And Banaszak went on record early, surprised some of us, and said, this guy ain't going to play. Fred Biletnikoff called me and told me he wasn't going to play. So they wouldn't have even had to call Art Schell. They could have just called Pete.
$24 million and just a phone call.
Yeah,
that's why you got a change in personnel.
Yeah,
in the personnel department. That's why.
That and first round picks.
Yeah,
yeah.
That pretty much sums it up.
Yep. Very simple. Very easy. All right. I'm to go do a little television. Of course, I'll cover this and Fletcher High School wrestling, folks. So the folks here, Vic, Cole, Jeff, have you the next segment. And it will be brought to you by Swiss Tech Watches. You can get yours exclusively at Espling Jewelers. Back after this on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Back to the show. Here's Cole Pepper.
Cole. Has anybody seen Cole Pepper?
Brian had him on his mind.
Right before the break, Brian says, you know, we'll be back with Cole, Vic, and Jeff. And when he said that, I was looking out in the hallway going, wait a minute, is he standing behind me? And he's not there. Is he joining us via this some type of technological connection, Joe?
Here's Cole Pepper.
That's not Cole. That's the voice of God. I figured that the voice of God could bring him up. You know.
If he's here, can I leave?
Folks, we're having a little fun, you know, because what we're going to do is, you know, Brian's off doing his TV thing because he's anchorman. And so when we come back, we're going to play the same liner and just see what kind of a reaction that we can get out of him.
Oh! No. Well, of course, fortunately, Brian's not real sensitive. He'll take it real well.
He'll take it real well. Oh, boy. So anyway, Jaguars today... issued the release, and we had talked about what it was. And to me, I think the release spoke volumes, and I'll read it to you. This is in Vic Ketchman's column at Jaguars.com, and it's fairly simple. It comes from Gene Smith, which is also a slight change from years past, because James Shaq Harris was not the front man.
Front man?
Coach Del Rio.
It was tough to find.
Was the guy.
I mean, Shaq just, you know, Shaq, he stayed in the background.
And totally in the background.
He was described by Wayne Weaver as a consensus builder.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who liked, you know, everyone to come on board with this. Yeah, I agree. Let's pick this guy. Therefore, we're all in this together. Well, Gene's got the exact opposite challenge. He is being challenged to take full responsibility for everything involving personnel.
And when you're the general manager, you issue statements such as this, and here it is, quote, "In going through our personnel evaluations and roster analysis, we are making decisions we believe will help improve our team for the 2009 season and beyond," end quote. That's it.
It really is all you have. It's really all that needs to be said. I mean, you don't have to say it was a mistake. I think we can figure that out. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say that a lot of money was wasted. I think we can figure that out. I don't think you have to say that you didn't need it to do any more evaluation in the spring. I think we can figure that out. This was a case where cuts were permitted to be made beginning on Monday, and here it is 2 days later, and they're making the cuts, which means that these decisions were made probably not short after the season ended, probably before the season ended.
I don't think it happened.
I know what
Gene
is saying
the season
there, but
ended. Because I think that, you know, when you don't have that mindset that you're going to be the one making that call at that point as a personnel guy, as Gene was. Well, now you're general manager.
Well, let me give you an example. When we're in Houston on Monday night, and Steve Slayton goes down the sideline untouched for a touchdown, and there was some quit on the field. You saw it.
Didn't look good.
Okay. At that point in time, you know you've got to do some dramatic things.
Sure.
Okay. So that's what I'm trying to say.
No, I understand that. But is this the end? Are there more coming?
Oh no, there's got to be more. There's got to be more.
And where will they come? When will they come? You know, because the issue that I probably get asked more than any, take a guess what it may be.
Fred Taylor. Well, that's the next one we're heading for, is a decision on Fred Taylor. He's got a March 1, March 3, March 4, 7, somewhere there, the first week of March. He's got a $1 million roster bonus due. Right. If the Jaguars don't pay that $1 million roster bonus, let's say a month from now. It's actually less than a month from now.
Yeah, today's the 11th.
Yeah, so you know, it's 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks from now. If the Jaguars don't pay that $1 million roster bonus, Fred's a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that, you know, one of the things, I'm going to the combine next week. After I come back from the combine, one of the things I want to start digging into is, hey, where are you on Fred? In fact, I'm going to do that while I'm at the combine.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going
to
suggest.
I need to write myself a pocket note.
One of the stories is, what is the interest level, or what would the interest level in a Fred Taylor be from other people around the league?
Doesn't matter.
No, but it does.
It matters what's this team's interest.
No, you're right. That's the most important thing. But other people's opinion of Fred Taylor, I think, is important in this, not for the Jaguars' reasons.
Oh, okay, I got you. But you won't find out unless he goes into free agency, which begins on the final day of February.
No, I understand that. But I'm not talking about an interest. I'm talking about people's opinion on Fred Taylor and what type of value that he has at the current time.
Well, here's my biggest concern with Fred, and that is that Fred is what I call a heritage player. He is this team's Hines Ward. He is this team's Bruce Matthews. Mm-hmm. He is this team's Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
he's this team's veteran link to past glories. And this team did have some glories.
Oh, yeah.
Two AFC title games in the 90s, starting off in the first 5 years, two AFC title game appearances. So, although he was just one of them. But he's the best shot this team has. It's a long shot, but the best shot this team has for a Hall of Fame player that has already been on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you do with your heritage player? Do you just say he's a heritage player, so he lives under the current contract, and we're just going to swallow that, or do you try to redo him, restructure him at a lower cost? And Jeff, let me get this out because I want to bounce this off you. See, there's where my real concern is. We just did that salary discontent thing. All right. He had a locker room down there that they said about which they said the chemistry wasn't very good, and one of the reasons the chemistry wasn't very good was because a lot of the players down there saw guys like Jerry Porter and Drayton Florence cut today making big bucks, and they weren't making big bucks, and they were outplaying them. Is Fred an exception? Because he's a heritage player, because he's Fred, because he's the greatest player in Jaguars history, is he an exception, or do you worry about where his salary is, where his compensation is level wise with other players in the locker room, because he's not your feature back. No. He's not going to be your feature running back next year.
But I just here's my
that's a question to you.
No, that's the question. I don't think that Fred or Maurice, either one of them, are feature backs anymore.
Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be the feature back next year.
You believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Then, as a feature back, there's two kinds. There's one that says he's the guy every down. The only time he comes out is when he needs an occasional blow.
No. He's not going to be like that.
That's my definition of a feature back.
Yeah. You mean a Larry Johnson, 350 carries kind of guy.
I believe that Fred Maurice should be like they were in 07. With maybe the number of carries reversed.
I agree with you. I think that's how it'll be, and it'll be reversed. Maurice will be Fred, and Fred will be Maurice.
That's what I think.
But what do you do? Do you with Fred from a salary standpoint?
Well, I mean, he can't function. He can't be in that role at the current value of what his contract is going to be.
You sure? He's a heritage player now. He's the greatest player in your history.
Yeah, I understand that. But it just can't. It has to come down somewhat, and what level is acceptable. Now, obviously, you'd like to pay for what you get. I think there is a little wiggle room to go above what that true value is, regardless of past performance and legacy player, whatever you want to call it.
This is a big deal, Jeff, and I'll tell you why it's a big deal. The story all spring long is going to be team chemistry. I promise you, I will be writing team chemistry ad nauseum all through OTAs. It will be Jack will speak on it at every chance. The players will be questioned about it and speak on it at every chance. I'm going to be writing stories all spring long about better chemistry. Well, it starts now with how you structure your payroll.
No doubt. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have somebody hosting the show. Not sure who that will be. Shh, don't tell Brian.
To talk to Brian, call Pick and Jeff. Dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV. Here's Culpepper.
All right, so I slipped and said Cole instead of Joe. Goodness gracious. Guess we you can't send this one to the Hall of Fame, huh?
We had a little fun with it in the last segment.
Yeah, I was a little bit busy today. Breaking news. You hear this? Brett Favre has told the Jets that he intends to retire.
Is that breaking news?
I'm just being as facetious as I can.
Yeah, well, does anybody care anymore?
No, no one cares. I'm just pointing it out. This time,
Brett Favre got squeezed off the front page by Jerry Porter.
No. Which, well, I don't mean why I wouldn't say he got squeezed off of the national front page. It's still news nationally.
Yeah, but he retired last year. Does anyone care?
Brett Favre.
Favre. What is that?
Something about Mary.
I was watching ESPN. I don't know. I think it was ESPN, and they were asking the question, what is Brett Favre's legacy? This is not a literary figure. This is just a freaking football player. Yeah. He won a Super Bowl. One Super Bowl. I mean, what is it about this guy?
I think that's an ESPN issue. They have so much time to fill. They've got to make things dramatic.
Well,
I
mean,
use the word legacy.
It is and it isn't, because you know, as a player, I really enjoyed watching Brett Favre and the way he played the game.
I did too.
And so, to me, that doesn't make him just a football player. He was an icon. I mean, he brought Green Bay, a historic franchise, much like Ben Roethlisberger did for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you had Lombardi, and you had Bart Starr. And then you had Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren, Pittsburgh Steelers, Chuck Knoll, Terry Bradshaw. Now you have Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, he is that type of icon. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, he's got two Super Bowls now.
There are people still saying he's a game manager.
No, he's far from a game manager.
Oh, yeah.
I've never. Who would say that today?
Let me get it. A former player on either ESPN or NFL Network. I'll get it. Oh, I'll tell you who it was. This is the best part. Cordell Stewart said anybody could have won. Anybody could have won with the Steelers.
Oof.
Did anybody
with that horrible offensive line with no running game?
If anybody ever doubts how good that Ben Roethlisberger is, you could watch the Super Bowl in the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. To me, the greatest illustration was the game that he had here this past year. I mean, the guy was phenomenal.
3rd and 16 with John Henderson and Rob Meyer hanging off of him.
Tremendous play.
He gets the ball to the only spot on the field where it wasn't going to be picked.
And hits him in stride.
You remember my statement about Byron Leftwich and that he's an expensive quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I said that is that you have to spend money to protect him so that he can be a good player.
You have to draft a left tackle in the first round. You've got to surround him with people.
Yeah, you got to surround him with talent that he can stay in the pocket, unobstructed, and deliver the ball. Ben Roethlisberger is the total opposite. He is an inexpensive quarterback. You can afford to not spend a ton of money on an offensive line because he makes things happen.
They sure did.
What was the play in the second quarter where they were about their 40-yard line?
The one to Heath Miller.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
A fantastic play. And how he found him, I don't know.
Great throw, except it's just an unbelievably risky throw.
What year was he drafted? Don't make that throw across the field. What was he, 04? 04 draft class?
Yeah, 04. It was the year after Byron.
He was the 11th pick. I mean, the Jaguars were on the clock.
And they took Reggie Williams. Look, that will never go away.
The mistake the Jaguars made was they didn't bluff early enough. They didn't bluff long enough. They had to get, somehow, some way, had to get Pittsburgh or Buffalo up there and make that trade. A year after you draft Byron Leftwich, even though I said, on the air, on the clock,
take
it. Pick him.
Right.
Send a message to every team in the league that if you want this guy, you got to trade with me.
Yeah, I remember it.
Okay, because the Chargers had just done it with Manning.
Right.
All right. Even though I said pick him, the bottom line is you were a year removed from Byron Leftwich, and what you really wanted to do was recoup the value of the pick in the form of extra picks and move down. But they didn't start bluffing early enough, and they didn't bluff long enough. They needed to work the Steelers and the Bills, who were bitter enemies at that point because of the Cowher and Donahoe.
Right.
They needed to pit one against the other and work them all week long. Hey, we're talking to Buffalo, we're talking to the Steelers. And by the way, Miami's trying to come up too, and they needed to create some anxiety there, and they didn't do it.
Do you remember just how long that will hang over this franchise? Do you remember how you used to be able to get Rick Reepersh to explode by bringing up Terrell Davis?
Yeah.
You just 97, 98, as Davis was becoming
that was another guy too.
The NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP. If you just, if you brought up, hey, how is it that you took Ryan Christopherson over that guy? I mean, Rick's head would explode. Mm-hmm. You
there's,
know?
There's another guy.
Well, this is worse.
There was another guy with Rick, too.
Okay.
Very well, now, why would Rick?
Well, he blames himself for not picking Terrell Davis.
Okay.
Right. He used to say, he said, that's our job to see that.
Yeah.
He was in our backyard. We missed it. But there was another guy he hit on that he got called off, and so he had to keep his mouth shut on Curtis Martin.
Oh, no, yes, you've told this story.
Rick wanted to take Curtis. This is a good story. Rick wanted to take Curtis Martin.
Was he third in the all-time?
Rick pretty much told Tom in the first round, we don't have to draft James Stewart here. We can get Curtis Martin in round three. He loved him. Right?
Sure, yeah.
The line was, he never did anything against us.
Ah.
After the draft, Rick checked it out. He had like 850 yards rushing
really?
against Boston College.
And Curtis Martin ended up third or fourth, just in front of Jerome Bettis, 15,000?
He's ahead of Bettis. He's Hold right on, at the top.
14,101 yards.
Greatest Jets player
behind,
in history.
Well, but it's one of the great running
Jets
backs
Patriots,
in history.
I mean, you could make an argument for that.
Emmitt That's Smith, right. Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Payton, Curtis Martin.
So, I don't know why we're bringing all this up. But,
well, just for the fun of it, because the Roethlisberger is one that'll hang that you can't let go of.
That's the point, and it's a well-made point.
It should guide
this guy's
26
years old.
It should guide, and he's a Hall of Famer.
If you were to go
guide
back
this franchise
and look at the draft, you could do that with a lot of teams.
Yeah, but that one
it was
unique.
Not a mistake to not draft the guy. Although it was a mistake not to draft it, the mistake was not to have been able to create the anxiety with that pick, with that choice,
right,
to get one of those teams, especially Buffalo or Pittsburgh, to move up. By the time they started making the calls, they were on the clock, and Pittsburgh just said, pick.
But there's sort of a double jeopardy with that one, you know, looking in hindsight, because you also, there were some questions about Byron Leftwich after that first year. So
yeah, but you can't say that. I don't know if you can say it after 1 year.
No.
I mean, he was looking good at the end of the year. And
all right,
the reason I don't think that was there. If you remember in the preseason when Byron came in as late as he did and he played as well as he did in the preseason, everybody was going, wow,
right?
I mean,
that's right. Down against
that's
Miami,
right.
Yeah. So
I remember in the spring of 2004, there were still questions about whether you had taken the long-term guy.
There will always be a question with a quarterback until they win. You know, in 2004, he hadn't really.
Well, I know you can play the hindsight game forever. I just think that one is.
But unique. You could do that.
That one is unique. Though.
You could do that. I mean, Tommy Harris was available that year.
Yeah, but we're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback.
You don't want me to go through.
I mean,
players.
But you can do that with a lot of teams.
He came out.
Will Smith is a Pro Bowl defensive end.
Duncan Robinson at 10. Roethlisberger at 11. Tommy Harris was, I think, 14.
John Vilma was
Michael,
the defensive rookie of the year.
Michael Clayton, right? Michael Clayton.
Yeah, to Tampa Bay.
Lee Evans.
DJ Williams, the linebacker, has been to the Pro Bowl for Denver. Will Smith is a Pro Bowl pass rushing end.
Chris Gamble. I mean, it was on and on and on. I mean, it was a great draft.
And
a great
all
draft
of them
class.
Would have been better than Reggie Williams. So that
Jonathan Vilma. I mean, it just went on and on, and that's why it's haunting
out.
This team, and it's haunting this team especially now. So what this franchise has done this offseason is pretty much told us that ain't going to happen again.
Let's take a break on that.
We're taking the best available player.
We'll be back with one more segment of Jaguars This Week right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio WOKV.
What? No, here's Culpepper?
Here's Culpepper.
Hey, did you guys hear that Brett Favre retired?
Hey! Congratulations on a great career, Brett.
What about Brett Favre?
Joey.
Great line. By the way, you know, I actually knew one of the guys in that movie.
Who?
kind of interesting. The guy, one of the, I guess, what do they call them? People that own the movie, producers? Is that the people that have the, you know, the investment?
Directors, there's producers.
Well, directors are producers, directing, yeah. But I think it's producers. One of the producers was actually friends of my agent.
Okay.
Friends with my agent. And Brad Blank, who was my agent my entire 10 years, and everybody can remember this line. We got a bleeder!
Yeah, I remember that.
That was my agent.
I remember that line.
That was Brad Blank, who you met.
I have absolutely
you have met him. That was Brad, the paramedic, who said, we have a bleeder.
We have it.
He got a little cameo in it.
Did you get paid for that?
Of course not.
I didn't think so.
Of course not. But, you know, I mean, he did it for fun, and he knew the guy that was doing the movie, so pretty cool stuff.
Hey, what about Matt Cassel?
And what about, we haven't had a call tonight. They cut Jerry Porter and Drayton Florence. We haven't had a call. What about that? What about Matt Cassel? He accepted the tender.
Right.
$14 million?
$14.65, but he will be traded probably to Detroit.
You believe so?
Yeah. Detroit will probably screw that up. well, they did it already with Scott Mitchell.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
forget, they did it before. Yeah. They'll do it again.
Martin Mayhew has taken over for Matt Millen. In Detroit. Martin Mayhew, a pretty good corner in his day,
Redskins.
Playing for the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm. He played with Darryl Green, right?
That's right. Well, of course, a lot of people play with Darryl Green.
That's right.
But Darryl played for 20 years.
When you got Darryl Green's years. On the other corner, you're going to get some help.
Well, no doubt.
No, he was a pretty good player. But the Lions have the first pick of the draft, of course, and, you know, what do they do? Do they take Matt Stafford one overall? Is Stafford a one overall kind of player? I don't think so.
I never saw him as that. I thought he was a very good player.
Is there a pass rusher, a one overall pass rusher?
He didn't win the big game. That's what I worry about.
He didn't make you go wow.
Yeah. He played well against Florida 2 years ago.
Could a team, regardless of who it is, could a team get out of the first slot?
That's
my question.
Someone in this draft?
That's my question.
Cassel is, I really believe that the Patriots are going to have the first pick. I think they're going to trade Cassel.
Yeah, but the Patriots don't like first picks.
Well, they'll take it and then move down, or they'll do something. Whatever the Patriots
do. They're not
going
to give up a first overall pick in the draft for Matt Cassel. No way.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, if they do, congratulations, Patriots.
Hey, you know, they
congratulations, Lions.
Scott Mitchell.
Patriots, yeah, you're getting that. You're right.
Scott Mitchell was unrestricted and not franchised by the Dolphins. Is that correct?
He was
I don't think the Dolphins got anything for him. I think he just walked and the Lions signed into an enormous deal.
Yeah,
he was a free agent.
Yeah, he was a free agent, and they got him because, remember, Marino got hurt,
right.
And Mitchell had to play the whole year.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing as Brady. Marino got hurt in Cleveland like game three of the season, and then Mitchell played out of his skin the rest of the year, and Matt Cassel is the new Scott Mitchell. I really don't think the guy is a player. I think he's just a guy. And he played on for a great coach and a great system. And you watch the Lions are going to screw this up.
You cannot trade.
I wouldn't do that.
First overall pick for a guy that was available in the seventh round.
Well, you can't. You can't look at that.
Seventh round draft. Oh,
well, you can't look at that and say that's the reason we shouldn't do it.
Well, you could even go find a guy.
To me, you look at the fact that he had Wes Welker, Randy Moss, a pretty good offensive line, a very good football team. Not a great, you know, division, weaker schedule.
Some pretty good players on the defensive side, too. I guess my point about bringing up the seventh-round pick is they found him. Go find your own.
Right.
Seventh-round pick.
Talking about the Lions now.
Yeah.
0-16.
Yeah, I know. But I still just can't see
him. Sonny, what do the Lions do? Give me a first pick of this draft. Michael Crabtree? No, you don't take a receiver.
No, one of the tackles. You got the kid of Virginia that's rated very high.
Well, they took the kid from Boston College last year.
Gosder Chehrolis.
Yeah, Gosder Chehrolis.
Yeah, right tackle.
Didn't he have a back issue?
No, I think he played all year.
No, that's right. He did.
And they have and Jeff Backus else. Is a pretty. I mean, he's.
Yeah, but these tackles don't fit at one. They're the only person at this point who would appear to fit at one, and this is talking to the experts, is Stafford. If Stafford was to light it up at the combine, and Mike Mayock from NFL Network said that he thinks Stafford, Sanchez, and Josh Freeman from Kansas State should all throw at the combine. They should throw whenever the scouts ask them to throw because they've got great arms, and they should show them off whenever possible. If Stafford doesn't throw at the combine, he won't go one overall.
Okay. Well, if he throws at the combine and he's the best player, then you take him if you're Detroit. What do you got, Drew Stanton behind him?
Who's the other one that played?
And the guy from Connecticut, Orlovsky.
Well, and of course, Culpepper. But Drew Stanton, I thought, was a guy, you know, with some upside.
Well, you know, the Patriots really are sensational. I mean, they really are.
If they can convince someone to give them the first overall pick from Matt Castle, then they're beyond sensational.
They have done a beautiful job with this, and they're going to skin somebody, and they're going to laugh at them.
Are they? Who's going to do it now that Pioli's gone?
I don't know. Who runs
interesting,
the show
Kansas
now?
City. Hey, Kansas City needs a quarterback.
They had hired.
Does Kansas City have
Floyd
interest?
Reese. Floyd Reese is now working for the Patriots.
Well, the quarterback teams are Kansas City, Detroit, and now the Jets.
Well,
clearly.
If Pioli doesn't jump into it, he's going to tell you exactly.
Oh, there you go. There's your team.
There's a little
there they
point
are.
Right there.
Oh,
the
God.
Jets. J-E-T-S-T-I-N-K. J-E-T-S-S-T-I-N-K.
There you go.
You got
the S first time.
Oh, and I'm going to double
I understand where you're going.
But you watch. Patriots will come out of this really smelling good.
They'll be the greatest quarterback drafters ever. Tom Brady in the sixth round. Matt Castle.
To get a one overall.
Give me a break. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.